quick review of last week. We are looking at this new year, new me. And we start off saying that every one of us have reached a point where there is something we would do differently, that we wish we could have a do-over. There are decisions, there are relationships, there are lines that we crossed, there are words that we said, there are actions that we've taken that we wish we could do a do-over. And we've all come to God asking for that. Lord, give me another chance. I promise I will do better next time. Lord, I just need a do-over. And we said the word that we use for do-over is this Greek word nuos. Can we say this? Nuos, right, nuos, and it just means a second chance. And it's usually when we come to God this way, it's a bargain. God, if you will do this, then I will do this. God, if you will not let me get caught, then I will do this. Lord, if you let them not find out about this, then I will do this. Lord, if you let this just not happen, or let this happen, or get the raise, or get the promotion, or not hire that person, or not let me get fired, or whatever the story is, we ask God for another chance, and it's usually us saying we will do better or we'll try harder. And the problem with that is you're not that good. Turn to somebody saying, I'm not that good. I'm not that good. You know how I know? Because how many have ever had to repent over the same thing again and again and again? All of us, right? Lord, I'm going to try harder. I didn't try hard enough, but give me another chance. I'll try harder. No, I didn't try hard enough. Here's the thing. You're not that good. We keep failing again and again and again. And when it's up to our strength, nuos just doesn't work. And so when we come to God, we ask for nuos and we're not that good. The second thing is God doesn't do do-overs. He doesn't do second chances. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to give you another chance. Just try harder this time. Come on, really grit your teeth and try harder. God doesn't work that way. God has something way, way better. And we talked about it last week. Instead of nuos, God does something called Kainos. Can we say Kainos? Kainos is not a do-over. Kainos is a brand new you. You don't need a second chance because you can have a second, third, fourth, fifth, 100th. And as long as it's up to your strength, you're never going to have it. But God says, I'm not going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you a brand new you. I'm sending you back with my power. I'm sending you back with my strength, with my wisdom. I'm sending you back with what you need. It's not just you trying harder. It's now you are with me, and we use what God has given us. And so we started to touch on this last week. We'll talk more about this, but when we go back, the new you is grown by doing. When God changes you, life doesn't become perfect, does it? God doesn't come down here and wave his magic wand and go, bing, now everything is perfect. Wow, just all wonderful. It doesn't work that way. But what he does, he says, I want you to go back, and as you begin to apply what I've given you, you will see my strength evident. We grow by doing, and that's what we do. We say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way. Your way, and we grow and we see that. And so the verse that we've been camping out on this whole idea of a new you is found in 2 Corinthians. And this is one of those verses that you should have in your heart. This is one of these verses you should memorize whenever you are feeling low, whenever you're feeling condemned, when you are feeling down, when you feel like you want to ask God for a second chance. We begin to quote this verse. And can we read it together? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we did this last week, and I want to do it again this week. Let's read it again, but let's personalize it. So instead of, you know, so if anyone is, if I, okay, let's personalize it. So we're going to say it together. We're going to make it about us. Therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. My old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is how it is to be interpreted. That's how it's to be read. He's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about you. Now, I want you to help me preach it. So get your preaching finger out, okay? And I want you to tell, we're going to read this to the person sitting next to you, but now it's going to be you. So encourage them with this, right? Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Your old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So to summarize it, tell them, God wants to make you brand new. Isn't that encouraging? God isn't about to give you another chance. God wants to make you brand new. Love this verse, power in this verse. And when we begin to hide God's word in our heart, And we begin to quote this. When we begin to say it out loud, it's like, oh, I'm feeling horrible today. But wait a second. When I am in Christ, I am a new creation. All those old things that I'm worrying about, they're passed away. God has given me a brand new me. I'm walking into this problem with His strength. I'm walking into this with His wisdom because I am doing it His way. Now, if you missed last week, we make it available online. You need to listen to it and let God speak to your heart. But today we're going to take the next step, and I want to talk to you about something in this new you process that Jesus says that if you miss it, you can discount or lose all the newness that He has put in you. So this is important. So to illustrate this, I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever come up to you and asked if you were having a bad day? Okay. Maybe you're at work or at home or, you know, in the grocery store, some stranger comes up to you and says, are you having a bad day? And we look at them and we go, you must be psychic. How did you know? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone up to anybody and asked them, are they having a bad day? Anybody ever do that? How did you know? They're sitting at their desk, right? Or they're bawling, you know, like, what is going on? Are you having a bad day? How did you know? You must be so wise. It's like, no, you know, I can't get work done. You're crying over here, right? You know, your frown is so big, your lips are going to fall off. I mean, what is going on? We know this. We know this, that the inside is connected to the outside. Yes, it is. What is going on inside is reflected on the outside. So when you look at somebody and they're like, you know, or just grumpy, you're like, you must be having a bad day. Something must be going on inside. You don't need like God's wisdom, you know, or insight for that. It's just like, you look like you're having a bad day. Hey, we see it. The connection is evident. Now, that's a very negative example, but it can also be for the positive. Almost here in a couple weeks, it'll be 29 years ago, I was getting ready to ask Starla to marry me. And so I was at her mom and dad's house, and I was waiting for her to get ready to go out on our date, of which I have been pretty much doing that again and again for the last 29 years, waiting for her as we go out for our dates. I say that because they laugh because they know it's not true. You wait on me, so that's why they can laugh. They know it's not true. But I'm sitting there at her mom and dad's house, and she's getting ready, and I am, for all the guys that have ever proposed, you know that moment, right? You know, and you're carrying the ring in your pocket, and you're doing this, and you're checking the watch, you know, and you're just sitting down, standing up, sitting down, standing up, and you know, you're practicing the lines in your head, and you know, you're trying to act cool. But you just given up on that a long time ago, okay? And you're just nervous, you know, what if she says no? What if she laughs at me? What if I lose the ring? You know, what if I have a heart attack during the midst of this? You know, what am I thinking? Just like going through this. And I am sitting there doing all the things that we do, you know, and I'm just, because it's inside, and my mother-in-law's, she's sitting there drinking her coffee, sitting at the table. And honestly, God, you cannot make this up. She comes to me and she goes, are you feeling okay? She goes, you look a little nervous. And then she says, can I make you some herbal tea or something, you know? Okay. I'm like, well, what makes you think that I'm, you know, nervous or something? You know, I mean, I'm just kind of excited, you know. And she's like, oh. And then in the wisdom that my future mother-in-law had, she looked at me, she goes, oh, we'll wait up for you. Because she knew. There was no hiding it. I didn't say a word to her. I didn't say, I'm about to propose to your daughter. And I just like, she knew there was something on the inside that was so good and so exciting that I couldn't hide it. I could have drank a gallon of herbal tea. Would not have helped at all, okay? Probably made me more nervous because now it's like, okay, I got other things I got to worry about now. It's just not going to help because something was so inside of me that I couldn't help it. If I would have stood there, stoic, like, what is wrong with you? You're getting ready to propose to the love of your life. I know. Wake me up when she's ready. Give me a ch-ch-ch. What is wrong with you? You know this. I mean, you see this in your life, right? I mean, anything you're excited about, people tell. People, they may not know what you're excited about, but they know you're excited. When you're worried, it shows. When you're happy, it shows. When you're afraid, it shows. When you're in love, it shows. All those things on the inside are connected to the outside. Even when we're hungry, it shows, right? You ever see that commercial where Betty White is playing football and she keeps getting tackled, you know, by the guy? I love that commercial. Betty White just, and they look at it, it's like, what is going on? You're just not yourself today. Here, eat a Snickers, you know. So Betty White eats the Snickers and then turns back into the guy, you know. It's like, because when you're hungry, you're just not yourself. Same thing. When something's going on the inside, we act differently. We're different. There is a connection, and here's the important thing. God made you that way. That was part of God's plan. And when we look to God's word, we see that God's will is in perfect accord with God's plan. And God works in the manner that he made you. When God does something on the inside, it shows on the outside. When God does something new in you, it shows in your life, your actions, your words, your smile, your world. You're connected. And God is saying, I am going to not just give you another chance. I am going to make you brand new. And I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change those things inside. But it will be evident on the outside because you can't disconnect them. That's the way I made you. And Jesus goes on, we're going to look at this, and he says, it's so much so that if you miss the outside, you can risk losing the change on the inside. Now, the Bible illustrates this beautifully with this new word. It's a Hebrew word, okay? And it's this word. It's chadash. It's a chadash. If you spit in the person's back of the neck, in the person in front of you, you've said it correctly. Chadash. And it means, essentially, it's the Hebrew word that means the same as the word kenos that we just learned. It's not a second chance. This is the Hebrew word for a brand new you. And this is the word, this chadash, that Ezekiel uses in the Old Testament to describe a message from God that he gives and says, this is the way that I work in a life. He's speaking prophetically and he's saying, there is coming a time where I'm going to perform this and make this available, and it's this chadash that I will give to you. And look at the effect and the connection between our soul, our inside, and our outside that Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel 36. We'll just read through this whole passage. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. He said, all your sin, all those things that are wrong, all those things in your life. He says, I'm going to wash. And he's speaking prophetically about the beautifulness of what baptism does, doesn't it? God washes our sins away. He goes on. And I will give you a new heart. Guess what word he uses there? Chadash. Not a second chance. He says, I'm going to put something brand new in you, a new heart, and put a new, same word, chadash, new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to replace what you were with something new. It is from God. It is him doing the work. He goes on, next verse. I will put my spirit within you, meaning that you don't have it. This is new. This is something wonderful. This is something that God gives and cause you to walk in my statutes. When I am made new, when God gives me his spirit, when God gives me what I need, it causes me to do what I've been trying to do on my own but couldn't do it. He says, I will put my spirit in with you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. All those things that you couldn't do, all those things that you couldn't be good enough, all those things that you struggled with, all those things that you said, I can't be that good, I can't keep it that long, I can't keep it together, I'm struggling with that. God says, I'm going to make you brand new. First of all, I'm going to wash you clean. I'm going to give you a brand new outlook. I'm going to give you a brand new start, a brand new beginning. I'm going to give you a new hope. I'm going to put in you, and not only just wash you, but I'm going to give you my spirit, which is going to give you the strength that you need. And Ezekiel was writing prophetically about something that he never got to experience, but yet we get to experience today. We get to experience the beautifulness of what it means to be baptized in Jesus' name and come up and saying, something on the inside changed. I've been given a new hope. I've been given a new lot in life. We can experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life. And God says, I'm going to live within you. I'm going to possess you with all the beauty and the goodness, and it will give you the strength to do what you can't do on your own. New heart, new abilities, new spirit, new strength. He's describing the inside, but he's saying, do you see the connection with the outside? Now, in this passage, Ezekiel talks about singing a new song. And the way that we look at song in the Old Testament, it was the expression of worship. It was their expression and their act to God that they often used that word song as an example or a metaphor of what their actions were to God. And we read through the Psalms, and there's so many that it talks about this new song, because God has done something new in you. Now you're going to worship differently. You're going to live differently. Psalms 33, sing to him a new song. Psalms 40, he put a new song in my mouth. Psalms 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalms 98, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. Psalm 144, I will sing a new song to you. Psalms 149, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. This is just a sampling. He's saying, when God does something in you, it changes you. There is something new coming out of you. As God begins to work and to change and to grow you, there is something new and something that it begins to express itself on the outside. And this just isn't through the Old Testament. It's all the way through to the end, because we read in Revelation, when it's all said and done, Revelation chapter 5 says, when we finally get to heaven, when we are there amongst the in the presence of God, and what are we going to do? And they sang a new song, meaning this, that God has created me as a new creation, a new beginning, and I'm celebrating it, and I can't help but worship him in a new way, in a different way, in a more way, in a deeper way. I can't just stay the way I was. He's doing something in me, and I'm expressing it on the outside. There's a connection. New heart, new song. New spirit, new worship. When God does something new in you, it shows. Turn to somebody and tell them that. When God does something new in you, it shows. It shows. God's doing something. It's showing. I can't help it. It's the way God made me. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you sang a new song? And I'm not talking, well, you know, it was just written last week. I'm not talking age. I'm talking, when was the last time that your worship grew? When was the last time that you had something new in your relationship with God, that your expression and your life and the way that you lived and the way that in your talk and walk with God, when was the last time that it grew? Are you singing the same old song in the same old way? I mean, for many of you, your theme song is the old hymn, I Shall Not Be Moved. Remember singing that? I always had a problem with that song. I shall not be moved. And I know the writer meant it in a good way, but for many of us, that's our singing it to God. I shall not be moved. We're not growing. We're not changing. We're not allowing God to create something new in us. This is like reminded again of the guy that you know, the really great husband example that told his wife, you know, that he loved her on their wedding day. And he says, well, and she said, well, you've never told me you've loved me since then. And we've been married for years. And he says, well, I told you once. I'll let you know if anything changes. And we laugh. But how many of us, that is our relationship with God? That when we came to God initially, oh my goodness, God changed me. He's a wonderful. But have you grown? Or did God just do his work back then and hasn't done anything else new in you? God is a God of process. God has something for you each and every day. But is your life reflecting it? Are you growing, or are we not showing it on the outside? Here's the thing. It's a connection that you cannot undo. It is the way that God made you. It is the way that God works. And let me just say this, that if you are not seeing growth on the outside, then you need to seriously, seriously look and say, is there still growth on the inside? Because Jesus said it real plain. He says the two are connected. I'm going to read a passage in Luke chapter 5, and he's talking about some stuff that's not going to make sense, but we'll circle around to it, but I want to establish what Jesus says, and then we'll bring it into more modern terms, because he's talking about some things that we don't necessarily use. But he says this in Luke chapter 5. He told them, this is Jesus speaking, he told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment and patch the new one, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. So if you got a two shirts, and you got a brand new shirt, and you have an old shirt, and the old shirt has a rip, you don't go to the brand new shirt and go, give me those scissors, gonna cut a big hole out of this new shirt, and I'll just plug this in. Like, what is wrong with you? It doesn't work that way. No, you've just ruined the new. Right? To try to maintain the old, okay, this is where we're getting to. To try to maintain what was, you're ruining and losing the new. Now, some of you are starting to get the gist of what Jesus is talking about here. Don't ruin the new work. Don't lose the new blessing, the new power, the new authority, the newness, the wonderful gift that God has for you, the life that God had for you, to maintain your old. He says, nobody does that. You know that. He's talking about something deeper. He goes on. He says this, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. This is the weird part that we're not really familiar about. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. Now, what he's talking about here is this, it's the same principle. You don't take something new to maintain something old. They don't work together. You will ruin them both, and you won't have anything that's good. Try to maintain the old shirt with the new shirt. Now you got two ruined shirts. He says you got a container where you're holding something. Now you got two ruined containers. And what he's saying here is this. You can't stay the same after God makes you new. I'm amazed at people that they say, well, yeah, I have a great relationship with God. Well, what's changed? Nothing. Well, Jesus said that's not possible. Jesus said that doesn't work. As God is changing you on the inside, you will see a reflection of that on the outside. Now understand this. We can live in a culture that puts so much emphasis on the outside that we discount the emphasis on the inside. Jesus always is about changing the heart. We are a church that is always about changing the heart. But I know this, that when a heart changes, lives change. There are people that try to maintain, well, I'm going to look this way, and I'm going to drive this way, and I'm going to speak this way, and I'm going to act this way, and nothing's going to change on the inside. If I get the outside right, then it's going to be fine. That just doesn't work. You can't be that good. And it's a fake, it's a sham, and that's when we become self-righteous, then we start pointing at other people. Okay, well, you're not keeping, I'm up at this level and you're not at this level. You missed it. It's about this level, the heart. That's why we say that all change starts at an altar. When we say, God, here's my heart. And God says, oh, let me do something inside of you and make you brand new so that you can do and exude and live a life that you can't maintain on your outside without me. You're going with my strength, my ability, and when I change you on the inside, it will change you and grow you on the outside. We can't disconnect them. And that he's saying, look, when you're made new, when God makes you new, you can't stay the same. It doesn't work. So I'm reminded of the cop that pulled the lady over for stealing a car. Pulled her over and says, ma'am, did you steal this car? She's like, what are you talking about? This is my car. Why did you pull me over? Why did you think I stole this car? I wasn't speeding. He goes, well, ma'am, he says, real simple. He says, when you pulled up at that last light, he says, you were yelling swear words out the window to the driver beside you. He says, you pulled up to the next light, and you were making a rude hand gesture to the next person, you know, who got in front of you. And then I looked at your bumper sticker, and it says that Jesus loves you. And I thought, the person driving that car can't own that car. Surely she must have stolen that car. See the difference? In our life, God is changing and our life begins to be an expression. And see, God works this way. God works this way. I love it when we're talking about just the plan of salvation. And when somebody repents, they come up from that altar. Oh, they look different. They look different. There's a smile that happens. Oh, something. Wow, God did something on the inside. I love it when people are baptized. They come out. You look at the smile on their face. I mean, and when you think about it in natural terms, it makes no sense. It's like someone just dunked you in water. And why are you grinning so big? I mean, in front of all kinds of people, you just got dunked right there. Your hair is a mess. You're all wet. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness. But what is it about you that your lips are curled over the back of your ears and you're just beaming and smiling? You know what it is? It's the way that God made you. It's the recognition is like, I came in here with all the sin of my life upon me, but I did something God's way. And in obedience, something changed on the inside. Something happened on the inside and I can't explain it. But it's showing on the outside. It's evident on the outside. That's the way that God describes the Holy Ghost. That's how the Holy Ghost works, folks. It's the same thing. God takes possession. And what happens? The scriptures say we begin to speak in another language as the Spirit gives utterance. Which means this. Something changed on the inside. And I can't help but see it and feel it and express it on the outside. That was God's plan from the beginning. That's the way that he works. It's connected. He said, I made you that way. It's not about you sounding weird or doing something. It has nothing to do with the outside. And that's why we pray. When we pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, it's like it's about giving 100% of your heart to God. Do you know there is a word that we use in church that is never in Scripture, never referenced, and that is tarrying for the Holy Ghost? You know that never happened? That people like begin, you know, praying and praying, God, none of that. It's simply this, that when they gave 100% of their heart to God, God just filled them, boom. You don't have to wait on God. You don't have to get in some kind of cosmic line. You know, is this the Holy Ghost line? Ooh, it's kind of long. Well, I'll start my waiting period. You know, hopefully by the end of this year, maybe I can get up to the front of the line when God finally gets ready to, you know, fill me. I'll just keep coming to the altar. Hey, God, is this my Sunday? Oh, okay, well, no, all right, maybe next Sunday. You know, it has nothing to do with that. You know, God has been wanting to fill you. God has been wanting to refill you from as long as you can remember, as long as you've thought about it. And the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. And God says, look, it happens when you give me 100% of your life on the inside. Then something will happen to you on the outside that you don't even need to worry about. When you say, God, Savior, my Lord, everything, and I'm just going to worship you and talk to you like you are my God and I'm your child. God says it manifests itself on the outside. It's connected. Same way with our Christian growth as we love God and we're serving God. You will continue to grow. You will see changes in your life. You will see changes in your behavior. You will see changes in your decision as God grows your heart. You're not going to stay the same. You're not going to stay the same that you were a year ago or 5 years ago or when you first received God. You're going to continue to grow. God has more for you. And as God creates new in you, it will manifest itself. And we're asking, where and when was the last time that I saw something new in my life? I claim to have God making me new on the inside, but am I seeing it on the outside? Maybe I'm missing something. There's a pushback when we say, well, you know, I'm okay, you know. God did something to my life. You know, I'm good where I'm at. I'm kind of in coast mode. God grabbed me to this point, hit the pause button, we're good. What we find in Scripture is that every time God does something new, there was something that's manifested more in our life. And do you know how often God does something new? I love this. Lamentations, Old Testament, but so true. Look at this. Book of Lamentations, he puts this verse. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. So God never gives up. They are what? New. Guess what word he uses? Same word with Shadash. They are brand new you. There's a brand new you. Every morning. Every day, God says, I got something brand new for you. You wake up in the morning, or if you're a teenager, you wake up sometime in the later afternoon. God says, this is a new day. It's a brand new you. And I love that, how he summarizes it. Great is your faithfulness. That's where that old song comes from. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, every day, new mercies I see. God is doing something new in me today. God is trying to do something new in you this morning. Brand new in you this morning. And when we allow God to create something new in us, then God changes us on the inside and we see it on the outside. And so I leave you with this question. When was the last time that you saw a change in your life as a result of what God was making new in you? Has it been a while? Are you growing? Are you moving forward? Can I be honest? Some of you are moving in the wrong direction. You were at a place in God, and now, you know what? You're not that far along. You've moved back. That's not the way that God works. That God wants you to be closer to him and more like him in your spirit and your actions today than you ever were in your life. And guess what? Tomorrow, it's the same thing. And the next day, it's the same thing. And it has nothing to do with your ability to be good. It has nothing to do with your ability to muscle it up and try harder and just check off all the rules. Just throw that out the window. It has everything with you to say, okay, God, change me on the inside. And I don't need to worry or fret or be concerned with all of the other things on the outside, because that's in your hands. But here's my heart. Here's my life. I'm yours. I'm yours. When we worship God that way, when we come and pray that way, that is all God is asking. And he says, brand new. Brand new. I'll give you what you need. You're going back to that problem now with my strength, with my peace, with my joy, with my goodness. Gentleness, long-suffering, all the things that comes from God's Spirit. But have we missed what God is doing and become comfortable with where we are at and have closed the door on God's newness? Because once again, we've come back to asking God for another chance or thinking we can do it on our own. Let me just say this. No matter how long you've known God, you will never be good enough to serve God. You will never be strong enough. You will never be mature enough. You will never have it. You always will need a Savior. And there will never come a time where you say, well, I should know better. No, you're not going to be that smart. The only thing you need to know is this: I need a Savior. And when I get that right, everything else is taken care of. When I get that right, then I have the strength that I need. I have the willpower that I need. I have the joy. I have the peace that I need. But it comes with this: my heart. God, change me on the inside. God, then do what you need to do on the outside. So this morning, I'm talking to those that hopefully you're hearing this and you're saying, I want that newness. I want God to make me new. It's been too long. I haven't seen growth in my life. I'm still singing the same old song, the same old way. God, there's an urgency in me to do something more for God, and I fought it. And what it is God's trying to change me on the inside, and I'm fighting that, or I'm worried that I can't do it. I can't maintain it. And you're worried about your own strength, that God is trying to speak to your heart and say, let's get back to the issue. It's about a heart. Let me change you on the inside. Starts at an altar, letting God grow that brand new life. Talking to those that maybe God has been working in your heart, allow God to manifest himself on the outside as well. Let him change that. He's trying to. They're connected. Don't try to hold it in. Let God do what God is trying to do. He's trying to make you a new creature on the inside and out. And God wants to do something brand new in your life. As we close today, if we can stand, I can't think of a better time to come to an altar and just once again give your heart back to God. Maybe it's for the first time. It's like, God, never been at this point in my life, but I'm yours. I'm in. God, I need a new me. I need to start. Or if you've known God and it's been a while, oh, God, back again. I've been shutting you down, or I've fooled myself into thinking I'm okay, when I've really been holding up the stop sign for what you're trying to do in my life. And what you will find a God in this place that's not condemning. He's not going to, well, you should have known better. But you're going to find a God that just with open arms, it's like, oh, that's what I've been waiting to hear. Love you, proud of you, have so much for you. Allow me to make you brand new. In your own way and in your own way, this altar's open. This is the way we're closing today. We got plenty of time to talk to God. Won't you come? Won't you respond to a God that's loving you so much and trying to get your attention through this? And God's saying, oh, would you come and allow me to make you new? Would you lay it down? Come on, let's find a place to pray this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of your word.